Well, this morning we are going to be finishing up this series that we've been working on about how God wants more for our life. And we started out with the idea that we were meant for more. God has designed us to experience life in a better way than what we are currently dealing with. And so we took the last, 8 weeks or so, and talked about how do we get that life that God has designed for us. And we talked about a lot of different things. We talked about spiritual warfare. We talked about obedience to God's word. We talked about personal discipline. And I would greatly encourage you to go back and pick up any of the sermons that you missed. It's on the website, parkstonbaptist.com, or any of the ones that you did listen to that you want to listen to again. But this morning we're going to be kind of winding down that series with the icing on the cake. Anybody like icing? I kind of like icing, and that's what we're going to end with. This morning we're talking about blessed with more, right? And so the idea is that we were meant for more, right? And we have talked about how to prepare our lives to obtain more. We've talked about fighting for more. We've talked about a lot of different things. And now we're going to look at the benefits of living our life the way God has called us to. And I have some stuff written down. But I would also like to encourage you to add on to this list. This is not a conclusive list or a comprehensive list. It is really just kind of scratching the surface. And I would love for you to share some of the blessings that you have experienced in following God's plan for your life. But we're going to go ahead and get started. And maybe after each one of these, we have three main points. One is individual blessings, one is family blessings, and then the other one is community or national blessings that come from following God's plan for our life. And so we're going to start with individual blessings, but before we do that, let's go ahead and just start with a word of prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that as we come to your word, Lord, as we come to realize the great plan that you have for our life and what you want to do in our life, Lord, I pray that you would open our heart to recognize the great desire you have for us to commit to doing what is right, to commit to doing good, and that you want to bless that. And so, Lord, we pray that that we would see these benefits not as just something that you want to give us for no reason at all, but as something that you want to give us because it is the result of being in harmony with your spirit, of living our life according to your plan. And so, Lord, I pray that we would see these things as something as good and something we want to seek after, and that we would do that with all of our heart, with all of our strength, with all of our mind. In Jesus' name we pray. You know, it's kind of interesting. Our society has kind of, in the last, 10 to 20 years, really began to everything that's up has kind of turned to down, and everything that's down has kind of turned to up. It's kind of a crazy situation we find ourselves, and one of the effects of that is something that people thought was good has now been portrayed as something bad. And we hear this word privilege a lot. You have privilege. And I grew up in a family of 7 kids. I was the third. And the third didn't have as much privilege as the first, right? The first had a lot more privileges than the third. But the third probably had more privileges than the fifth and the sixth, right? If Stephen is here, he could probably attest to that. it seemed like the last one had a whole bunch of privileges that nobody got, because they were the baby of the family. But when I was growing up, privileges were something everybody wanted. Everybody wanted privileges, more privileges. And with privilege came responsibility. And I remember turning 16, and, you know, I could have gotten my license, and I actually did want to get my license, but then we moved, and I didn't get my license, and then I didn't end up getting my license until I was almost 18, because the state we moved to, I had to have driver's ed, and so then I had to sign up for driver's ed, and it took this whole long process. But people would be asking me, are you upset that you don't have your license? And I just, you know, I'm not really upset about that at all. Like, why? I mean, everybody wants to have their license, and it's like, yeah, but if I have my license, I'm going to have to drive around all my brothers and sisters to all the stuff that they want to go to, and I'm not really looking forward to that. I want to go do my own stuff, right? And so we always saw privilege as a benefit that came with responsibility. And that's how the Bible teaches privilege as well. Except for it doesn't use the word privilege, it uses the word blessing. That there are many, many blessings that come when we take responsibility and we follow God. And so we're going to start out talking about some individual blessings that come into our life. And these, the first we're going to start with instant blessings. Instant blessings that come into our life when we decide to follow God. The first one is grace, or forgiveness of sin. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is a wonderful blessing. How many people have had an argument or a disagreement, a strong disagreement with somebody that caused you anxiety? And then you went to that person and you were able to forgive. You were able to reconcile. And then you experience that peace that comes from having forgiveness. Has anybody ever experienced that? I hope everybody has, because we're all sinners. I know you guys have gotten into some disagreements. That's the same peace that comes into our life when we know that we have been forgiven by God for the wrong things that we've done against him. It's a peace that passes understanding. It's a peace that brings joy. It brings excitement. It brings hope, which is what we're going to talk about next. Romans 10, 8 through 13 says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This part in here about the Jew and the Greek is about ethnicity. And the Jews thought they were God's special people, and they were God's special people. But God's purpose was not to make one group the special people and everybody else the non-special people. God's purpose was to take this people, the Jewish people, and allow every single nation on earth to be blessed through the message that they would give, which is the message of that they can be reconciled and have peace with God. And ultimately, Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, and that is the message. And now there is no distinction in God's eyes between any nationality. The same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter your last name or who your parents are or who your great-grandparents are or anything like that. What matters is, have we called upon the name of the Lord? Have we believed in our heart that God, Jesus Christ, has died on the cross for our sins and been raised from the dead, and that he has taken that punishment for us? Have we confessed with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and have we made him the Lord of our life? And if we have, then we have total forgiveness. That's a pretty awesome instant blessing. The next one is hope. Romans 15:4 says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." And then Paul says, "For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectations of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself will also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." What a wonderful picture of the Christian life. So many people are walking through their life with no hope. They're not looking forward to the time when they're going to be reunited with God in person. They're not looking forward to the being going to heaven when they die and being reunited with their family members. They're not looking forward to the good that God is going to do in this life. They're not looking forward to the blessings and the things that God wants to accomplish in our life. Most people have no hope. And what little hope they have is in themselves to be able to accomplish all of these things that they want for themselves. You know, when you make yourself the most important thing in your life, what often happens is you recognize how little you are worthy of worship. Right? We go around and say, "I am the most important thing in my life." And then we go out and realize that, you know what? I'm a sinful person. I'm not really all that great of a person to begin with. And then we start to despise ourselves. And we start to do things that we know we shouldn't. Just to despite ourselves. Because we do not like what we see when we look in the mirror. But when we turn around and we put our hope in God and we start to follow him, boy, things change around. We have a different purpose of our life. We have a different reason that we're living for. And we can go through these challenges. We can realize that, you know what, even in this world we're going to experience trials and tribulations. But we can be of good cheer because better things are yet in store. Philippians 3:3-14, Paul is talking about how his purpose in life has changed now that he has become a Christian, somebody who is serving God. He says, "For we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh, though I also might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so." Paul is saying, hey, you think you're somebody? You think you are going to go out and accomplish great things because you think you're really you got something going on? He said, "I am better than you in every way. I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. I have great heritage. I was of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. Concerning the law, a Pharisee. meaning that he was of the ruling class. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. He was looked up to as in society as somebody who had it all. One of those people with privilege. And he says this, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain the resurrection from the dead." Here Paul says, what the world looks at as important, status, whatever the world looks at, fame, notoriety, all these things, Paul says, I care so very little about. Matter of fact, I care so little about it, I consider it rubbish, garbage. It's of no value to me. What is of value to me now is knowing Jesus, serving him, being found in him. I used to pursue all of these things over here like it was the most important thing in my life. Now, after knowing Jesus, I realized that I was going in the wrong direction. And now I have a new purpose for my life. He says in verse 12, "Not that I have already attained it or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which for Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Paul is saying, hey, I have totally changed the direction of my life. I was going off in this direction, but now I am fully pursuing what God has for me. He says that, "I press on that I may lay hold of that which for Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me." God has gotten a hold of my life, and I am doing everything I can to take hold of that plan that God has for me. These are things that happen instantly when we commit ourselves to follow Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Wonderful blessings. Most people are searching in this life for something worthwhile. They're looking for something that will bring them fulfillment, bring them hope, bring them something that they can stake their life on. And at the end of their life, they can look back and say, wow, that was worth it. And they look in all the wrong places. They look in comfort. They look in excitement. They look in drugs, sex, alcohol, all these different things to bring in that fulfillment, that contentment that can only be found in God. So those are the instant blessings that begin to change us, that begin to give us instant blessings of following God. But there's what we've been talking about in this series is really not those instant blessings. What we've been talking about is the long-term blessings of following God. Those are many, many. For our closing song, we're actually going to be singing Count Your Many Blessings. There are so many blessings to following God that we couldn't even, I think if we held service for the whole year and didn't stop, we probably wouldn't even be able to begin to touch the many blessings. that come from following God. But we're not going to do that. We'll be done here in a little bit. Some of those blessings are the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 through 25. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. One of the long-term benefits of following Christ, of living for Him, doing the things that He wants us to do, is inner peace. Inner peace. We don't have to live with guilt. We don't have to live with all of these things that cause anxiety in our life. We can have true peace in our life. Love. You know, that's a word that means so many different things to different people. But we're not talking about sexual relationships. We're talking about a relationship with our Creator who sacrificed Himself so that we could have life. We're talking about love as in sacrificing ourselves so that others could live. And that's what God wants to do in our life. He's already sacrificed, and He wants to help you. He wants to teach you how to love, how to receive and experience His love, and how to love others. There is great, great joy in loving others, sacrificing yourself for others. You know, when I was growing up, I read that verse, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And that made absolutely no sense to me at all. I remember, and it actually wasn't that long ago, at Christmas time, right? It was, I want to have the most presents of everybody, right? And I was like, wrap all my presents individually so that way I can have more presents, right? Because it's like, I want more, 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 more. But that's so selfish. And after God has changed my heart, boy, it is so much more awesome to see other people receive a blessing. Maybe not so much at Christmas time because the focus gets distracted, but throughout the year, doing things for others, giving to others, helping others, spending time encouraging others, there is nothing greater than knowing that you've helped other people when they really needed it. It is a joy like I have never felt in my life. That is real love. That is true love. And that's the love that God has for us. Patience. Whew. Does anybody want that? It's like tried through fire. But what a blessing it is when you're not controlled by other people. When you can have other people come and attack you and hand you their garbage, and you can say, you know what? No thanks. I got my own problems to deal with. I'm not going to deal with yours. And you just move on right down the road. The fruit of the Spirit is an amazing blessing that comes from following God. And there are many other spiritual blessings. Ephesians 1 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, without blame, before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved." So here God has given us the opportunity to receive His grace, to receive His forgiveness, to be saved, to be adopted into His family as sons. And then it says that He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. God just wants to continually stack up blessing upon blessing in our life. And there are so many spiritual blessings that God is willing to give us in our life if we're willing to serve and follow Him. Maybe you have some blessings that you would like to share. What are some blessings that you have experienced in your life in following Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Carmen? Blessing of a church family, blessing of people to walk with through this life. That is an amazing blessing. Absolutely. Somebody else? Individual blessings, God, as you walked with Him over the years. Yeah, that's actually a great transition. We're going to talk about family blessings, but one of the great individual blessings of following Christ is leaving that heritage for the next generation, right? And, you know, one of the great turmoils of a parent is when your children aren't following God. I remember when Isabel's grandma was getting ready to pass away, and it was actually a couple of days before she died, and we were talking about what we were looking forward to when we go to heaven. And I asked her, I said, you know, what's one of the biggest things you're looking forward to being in heaven? And she said, peace. Having total peace, perfect peace in my life. And I said, wow, that will be awesome to meet Christ face to face and to know that all of our sins are forgiven, to know that we made it, right? We're there. But then she said something that was just really struck me. And she said, you know, I don't understand how I can have peace when I know my kids aren't ready to meet the Lord. And it's so true that when you see your kids not walking according to God's plan, it is hard. So it is definitely an individual blessing when you see your children walking in the Lord. Very good. So let's move on to family blessings. There are definitely individual blessings, and there are definitely family blessings. Proverbs 3:1-4 says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandment. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart so that you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. One of the great blessings of following God in your life and in your family is peace. So many homes are full of turmoil and rage and anger and hostility and all kinds of unfortunate, sinful behavior. But when we follow God with our life and we are connected by marriage to someone else who is following God with their life, and we teach our children to follow God in their life, though we are all individually sinners saved by grace, God works in our families this amazing peace that we get to experience. And I know that I am greatly blessed, greatly, greatly, greatly blessed to grow up in a Christian family, with a mom and dad who loved each other, loved me, but most importantly, loved God. It is a huge, huge blessing. One of the other family blessings is to not be put to shame. Psalms 127, 3 through 5 says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gates." Children are a wonderful blessing. And when you follow God, when you teach them in the ways of the Lord, Proverbs 15:20 says, "A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother." Children can be a great reward. They can also be a great heartache. You open up the news and you see this, all these people caught up in different sins. And that's a broken heart of every single mother who opens that newspaper when they see their child is being blasted all over the public for his wickedness. But one, a child, a wise son who follows after God, who does what is right, they bring great joy to their family, great joy to their parents. One of the family blessings of following God is to not be put to shame. The other one is to experience true love. Touched on that a little bit. Psalm 103, 17 and 18 says, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to the children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them." When we follow God with our life, when we truly do what he has asked us, there is a generational blessing that is passed down. And it is an amazing thing. It has nothing to do with the color of your skin. It has nothing to do with your nationality. It has everything to do with walking in righteousness according to God's plan. And anyone can pass that down to their children. Anyone can overcome sin with God's help and be an example for even their children's children. How about you? What are some blessings of following God that you've experienced in your families as you've maybe grown up or even as you've raised your own family? Josh?
Always for a family is coming to a different society and learning more about Jesus. And that part of the kids coming growing in a lot more than they used to. And we have seen that a lot in this church. And it's just a big step for us, I think, and it's helping us a lot with this church.
Amen. Thank you for sharing that. Somebody else? Amen. Anybody else? Now's the time to share. Okay. Well, I know personally for me, one of the greatest benefits I've had is to have an example to follow. You know, my dad's a pastor, and I was a teenager like anybody else. I thought I would be better than my dad. I thought, I got everything figured out, and my dad's, not nearly as smart as he looks, and, all those things that teenagers think at different points in their life. And boy, was I wrong. I mean, I have an example to follow. I remember a few years ago, I gave my dad a Father's Day card that says, if I'm half the father that you were to me, then I know my kids will do well. Because I have such an amazing example that I can follow. Somebody that I can ask, hey, what would you do in this situation? And I know it's good advice. Because he has stood the test of time. And that is. I remember this TV show, Due South. If you haven't watched it, I highly recommend it. But there was this one episode I've talked about before where this father was basically, he was a bank robber and he was doing one last heist and he was going to kill himself and leave a bunch of money to his son because he recognized that he really wasn't going to leave anything to his son if he had died. And one of the characters, who was a Mountie, Canadian Mounted Police, and he said to that guy as he holded this match and was in the middle of this basement full of gasoline, he said, you know, the only thing that you can leave, the only thing a father needs to leave his son is an example of how to be a man. And if you don't leave him that, you don't leave him anything. If you don't leave your son an example, your children an example of how to live life in the right way, then you don't leave anything for your children. There's nothing that they can follow. There's nothing that they can duplicate in their life that they can put down for the next generation. They have to start all over again. And so an example to follow for me is one of the greatest blessings that I've received living in a Christian family. Third is the community or national blessings. Not only is there blessings for our individual lives, not only is there blessings for our families, but there are blessings for our community and nation as families come together to follow God and to live for Him. And this might sound odd to you, but one of the blessings is glory. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. When you do what is right, when you act in the right way, not only does it bless you, and not only does it bless your family, but it blesses your entire community. It blesses your entire state. It blesses your entire country. And as more and more people come together who are like-minded, following what is right, doing what is good, loving their brother, loving God, and serving Him, there is a national blessing that comes. Galatians 3:8 says, in the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. Our sixth president, John Quincy Adams, he talked about how America was not one that went abroad looking for enemies to fight, but that we were conquerors of our own liberty only, and that we were to be an example for the world that they could follow. President Ronald Reagan said that we were the city on the hill, right? The example for nations to follow. Unfortunately, we've fallen from that position. But glory is one of the great blessings of following God for your community, for your nation. Another one is peace. Jeremiah 29:7 says, and seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. We are to seek the peace of the places where we are. Where God has put us, we are to seek peace. And the result of living the Christian life and living according to His principles will be peace. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. That is true for our country. That is true for any country. Any country who desires to follow God and is willing to humble themselves and pray and to turn from their wicked ways, God will heal. God will bring peace. Productivity is another community or national blessing that comes from following God. Deuteronomy 28, that God lays out these blessings. It says, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all of these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall you be in the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall you be your basket, be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be with when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face, and they shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. And the Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. And he will bless you in the land which your Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Then all of the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. There is tremendous national blessing when people come together and serve God as a nation. Unfortunately, we don't see that much in our country anymore. There are so many people that are totally against God and are doing the very things that God says we should not be doing. But if we were to turn around our country and we were to reestablish our country as a Christian country and to serve God and to do as he wants us to do, then God would give us these blessings. The last one is health. Exodus 15:26 says, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Now I put this in the category of a national blessing because that's where it belongs. The reality is that we do have suffer from different diseases, that sort of thing. And a lot of that has to do with the community that we live in, the nation that we live in. God protects. He puts a hedge of protection around the people that are following after him. And there is great, great blessing in following God. And so we're going to close there. But I want you to think this week and maybe even write down some additional blessings that you think of along the way. What are some of the blessings that you have experienced in your life from following God? Or what are some blessings in his word? Because there are many, many more. We were just able to touch the surface. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this series that we've been talking about, how you want more for our life. Lord, you are excited and you are preparing a place for us in eternity. But even here on this earth, there are so many blessings that come when we put you first in our life. Lord, not only are we blessed individually, but our families are blessed. Their children are blessed. Their children are blessed. Lord, you are so good. And as we grow up into a community of believers, a nation of people who fear you, Lord, there are the blessings just continue to expound. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us to work hard at following you individually. Let us first look inside and say, where do I need to refocus my efforts? Where do I need to gain more discipline? Where do I need to correct behaviors in my life so that as I get older, or even as I live out my life in my family, as I raise my children, as I be a spouse to the person that God has given me to marry, Lord, that they might be blessed by having me in their life because I'm following after you. That I might receive the blessing of following you, that my family may be blessed, that my community may be blessed. Lord, you have so many blessings to pour out if only we are willing to become like your Son, to crucify our passions and desires, and to follow the truth, follow in the way, follow the life. Lord, we thank you for all of the blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.